Welcome to the John, Paul, and Mike Show. I'm your co-host, Paul Holmes. And with me today is your other co-host, John Jurisic. Yeah.
And, of course, we have Mike stumbling in and out of the room somewhere.
Yeah, he's...
He's very problematic.
I think he might have been drinking last night. I'm not 100% sure.
Was that at the Strathcona Hotel that hosted that amazing...
social
media party?
Again. Yeah, maybe. So, but he's come back. We're speaking into him right now.
That's gonna be great.
And
hi, Mike.
and you're listening to a broadcast today from the social media camp,
world renowned social media camp. I'd like to add.
I believe it is the greatest social media event north of Texas.
Really? What's going on south of Texas?
We're lots of problems.
Talk
about that another time. So we're really excited because we're here, and it's a fantastically fun time with John and lots of other folks, and we have some really cool interviews coming up.
We sure do. Well, first of all, you know, you're a founder and organizer, so like you're into the minutia of this thing. I have the luxury of actually coming to see it as an outsider, and this is a phenomenal event. I don't think you have a sense really of what you've created. What a great
An animal. That's
well, it's a fabulous event for Victoria. It helps our tourism, it helps the industry, it helps business. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Chris. If I'm going to put you on the spot, I'm going to do it now. Twitter feeds for our show and Facebook page.
Well, the at John, Paul, and Mike is where you'll find
you and I.
And
no pictures.
Yeah, and Facebook/ John, Paul, and Mike. And here at Social Media Camp, we've got hashtag SM Camp. Although there's a few others. The usedeverywhere.com people are here, and they are using a hashtag used party, which is a lot of fun because they're throwing a party here at Social Media Camp. So lots of neat photos. And something really cool, Mandy Farmer has recently launched the Zed Hotel, and they brought their bus here, which is actually in a converted Volkswagen van.
Yeah.
And people are getting their photos taken with it as hashtag Zed Bus, which
really
is
cool, fun, innovative.
So neat.
Ideas coming out of that Accidents group, which is where this hotel is.
Exactly.
It's within their umbrella.
Yeah.
And we also have a Twitter handle for our very the third part of our group, which is our little Mike here.
Yeah. It's at a lonely Mike, MIC. And he doesn't really say. Do you have anything to say about that, Mike? No, I guess not.
Well, he did. It was very profound.
Silence can be that way.
We definitely look forward to huge interaction. Our
goal
with this is to literally talk a lot about nothing, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And we certainly hope that you will interact with us via the social media handles.
Yeah, and thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to John, Paul, and Mike. It's Paul Holmes here. And we're still recording here at Social Media Camp, having a good time. Are you having a good time, John?
I'm having a great time. For someone not as expert as yourself, this is a phenomenal place. There's so much energy here. There's so much innovation, so much creativity. I'm blown away. Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thanks, man. It's been a lot of fun. So really excited to sit down with this gentleman, Hamza Khan, who is the co-founder of Splash Effect. He's a speaker here at Social Media Camp. And he's also the digital community facilitator at Ryerson University. And, you know, one of the things we want to talk about at on this podcast are important, pressing, social issues like education. And we thought, who better to bring on the show than somebody who is on the bleeding edge of that. So welcome to the show, Hamza.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast and to speak here at Victoria for the second time. The weather is phenomenal, and I must say that coming in from Toronto, where it's currently still snowing and raining, this is a nice vacation, if you will.
I think this is a great chance for one of our inaugural podcasts for at least myself to be chatting with you, literally since the mid-90s, I've been involved on the digital side of online learning. Actually had a company for about 10 or 12 years involved with digital online learning, and we published and had clients all across North America. So very much familiar with the bleeding edge of education and digital integration. And as much as we think students and professors and that community use technology, they don't actually use it as much in the actual delivery of the curriculum and actually integrating media into their teachings. And so to see and hear about someone like yourself who's doing that is so exciting. Can you give us a summary of what you do, what the company does, and kind of how it's going for you?
Absolutely, absolutely. In my capacity at Ryerson University, I'm helping the entire administration raise its levels of social media and digital technology proficiency with the end goal of better connecting with students. And that should always be the end goal. How do we better serve the students that are on campus? How do we ensure that we're delivering against the goals of attracting the best students, retaining the best students, and creating citizens and evangelists of the brand that are positively contributing to the building of the city and the building of the world? And in my capacity as co-founder of Splash Effect, what I do is I help other universities and other colleges do more or less the same, but not to take away from what I'm doing at Ryerson. What I help them do with Splash Effect is I help to improve their existing processes and systems. So if they are running a social media campaign, I help them run the best, the most smartest, efficient social media campaign that they could possibly run. I help them develop apps, products, run services that, again, just improve higher education as an overall system.
In my experience in working with universities, colleges, departments, ministries of education across North America, there is like a huge fear of these things. There's just this huge roadblock towards incorporating social media, letting students have expression. Tell us about that, because it's so painfully clear and obvious that these tools should be used, especially in these places of free speech and encouraging free speech. Yet some of these institutions are some of the worst at trying to stop these kind of expressions. Tell us about your experience around that.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. I think about this in two different vectors. The first is we talk about MOOCs, massive online open courses. The bane of the existence of the traditional university, of the traditional institution. And the adage goes that doing something because that's the way it has been done is a horrible way to operate any business or organization. Doing something solely because that's the way it's been done is in many ways a death knell for companies. And you look at what's happening with courses. They're being condensed. They're being taught online. They're going from 4 years on a campus to now 4 months entirely from the comfort of your own bedroom, or anywhere in the world, rather. And then you have free alternatives. For example, I'm learning how to code JavaScript. I'm not going to any college for that. I'm not going to any university. I'm learning it on Code Academy on my own time. So what's happening is a conflation, if you will, of students' expectations and what can be taught with the online platforms. And I think I have to go back to the T word, tenure. Right? You think about all these profs who are, you know, I hate to stereotype, there's a lot of great profs, but for the most part, you have folks that are up in the ivory tower that have these ideas about how to run an institution, that it should be just solely about learning. And then you've got people in student affairs who think it should be about experiential learning. But I promise you, when I step outside my office and I close my eyes and I spin around and I point to a student and I ask them, why are you here? 99% of the time, they're there to get a job. And we are simply not delivering on that. And I think that as somebody who works in social media, who's listening on conversations that students are having, we have the data. We have the voice of the students. We have people telling us that this is what they want, and we're able to identify that disconnect very early.
So I'm a college dropout. I took a semester of college only to leave because I was offered twice as much money to go back to my previous technology job back in the day. But as a parent of a young child, my son is 8. He's in grade 3. My biggest concern. You see these kids coming out of high school, and the amount that they learn and what they learn and everything else is just it's ridiculous. It's not relevant. It doesn't prepare them for the real world. Like, you wonder what these people are doing, or are kids just stupider, or is the education system just fundamentally broken? I wonder if you have any thoughts around around primary and secondary education as well. And you know, that's so key because you're talking about attracting the best and brightest students. Well, if the average is going down, your best and brightest students are going to be a little bit less bright and a little bit less best.
Paul, you touched on a really, really pressing topic, and that is the self-perpetuating myth that higher education is necessary. You have to keep in mind that higher education, colleges and universities, are businesses at the end of the day. So it's in their best interest to perpetuate the idea that you need it in order to graduate. You need it in order to become a contributing member of society. And society is partially to blame for creating this expectation that the BA, the BSc, the BBA is the new OSSD. And what I mean by that, that's the Ontario Secondary School Diploma. In some ways, the status quo right now is the university degree, the diploma. And without that, you can't even get an interview. You can't even get your foot in the door. But the truth is, I think we are hurtling towards a meritocracy where even if you have the ability to create, if you are a very talented developer, if you're a talented speaker, if you have some skills, you might be able to circumvent the higher education process entirely. And just as you have, Paul, go into the workforce right away. What I would tell my kids and what I would urge all parents is to send their kids and to send their children to university or to college with the expectation of going there to grow as a person, not for anything else. Go to college, go to university to grow as a person and find yourself. That's the advice that I would give.
It's certainly an industry that is undergoing the same kind of change that most other industries in our economy have undergone, i.e. publishing, i.e. music, traditional media. And it's fascinating that I do, as you've stated, it's likely now education is changing. I do a bunch of work consulting with manufacturers here on the island and helping them with fundamentally trying to do more with less. That's sort of the new world we live in now. That means improving efficiency and productivity. That means people working within these companies have to become smarter. They have to think critically. They likely have to train on the job. Actually, our universities and our colleges don't entirely fit that model, and so you're seeing a lot of training now happening within companies, and they're challenging our models of educational delivery. They're saying, you know, you got to meet what we're doing, and there's a bit of a gap. It's not. It's going to be fascinating to see how this is going to be crossed. And so, to that end, and likely we're coming to. Are we coming somewhat to the end of our podcast?
I have a sneaky suspicion, John. We could probably go on with Hamza for hours, but yeah. We'd like to let him go see the rest of social media.
Absolutely. Okay. Well. Certainly. Let's then hear some of your concluding remarks. Maybe in reference to some ways of the new economy and how it's challenging educational institutions, and then of course how your specific company again is helping us get there.
Right on. You alluded to some industries, and I remember my first social media conference that I ever attended. I was a volunteer. I was holding open doors and pouring water for people in 2007 as a student. That's the only way I could get in. And I remember distinctly that the conversations and the presentations being given in 2007 were the exact same presentations being given to a higher education audience in 2012. And what I've realized is that higher education is literally in the final three bastions of change or of industries that have resisted social media change. Manufacturing, automobile, lifestyle, apparel, entertainment, they have all embraced the change. They are all so far ahead of the curve. And, you know, I'm lucky. I'm here with Social Media Camp, where we're represented by a very diverse set of people in terms of industry, in terms of experience. And the conversations we're having here, I promise you, I'm going to have the exact same conversations 3 years from now with a higher education audience. And I feel bad saying this, but the presentation I did today, I'm going to do it again a couple of times this summer. I'm doing twice to a higher education audience. And I have to dumb it down, unfortunately, because I can't begin to talk about the age of disruption being over when a lot of them are just beginning to embrace the idea of, you know, we need to use analytics, for example. And I know this is not I'm not trying to knock down my colleagues. What I'm saying, and then my concluding remarks would be this: I'm lucky that I get to occupy a dual role where I get to work for an institution at Ryerson University where magically every year the budget is renewed and there's no financial consequences for poor performance. At the same time, having my foot in the private world in a startup, I'm constantly feeling the pressure from my peers, from the industry, to innovate, to disrupt, and I bring that back to my work at Ryerson, which has really enabled Ryerson to be ahead of the curve because I'm constantly applying the pressure that I feel.
Well, it's been a real pleasure, Hamza. Thank you so much for being part of the inaugural John, Paul, and Mike podcast. Here at Social Media Camp, tell us what's been the most fun for you so far.
Wow, gentlemen. First of all, thank you for having me. The most fun has been...
The popcorn.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The hospitality. Wow, y'all, I mean, they talk about Southern hospitality. They don't have anything on Northern hospitality. I got to say that.
Western hospitality.
Let me get my geography right. Western hospitality, right?
We got some serious self-image problems over here in Western Canada.
This is true. But I got to say, by far, my favorite part has been friends that I met on Twitter last year. I'm now able to actually meet them in person. We're going out for coffee, grabbing drinks, having lunch. So I'm converting those online avatars into real-life friends, which has been such a pleasure.
Right on. Well, thanks very much. And I wish you well for your various endeavors. I know you've got a big challenge ahead, disrupting the whole education industry. But I think it's badly needed. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So welcome back to Paul, John, and Mike. Can I call it Paul, John, and Mike? Is that acceptable, or do we?
You can actually call it whatever you like.
Okay. Welcome back to John, Paul, and Mike. We're here with Mike Gingrich, who is one of the co-founders of Tabsite.com, and he's speaking here today at Social Media Camp. Mike, tell us a little bit about Tabsite and what you guys do.
Yeah, well, Tabsite is basically a promotion and engagement tool for businesses online. And so you can run contests, promotions, and maybe you want to offer a lead capture form. It's a way of building engagement and then also capturing leads. And you can do that on your Facebook page tabs, your apps, or you can also embed that on your website. So wherever your traffic is at, you can use our tools to help you engage and expand your audience and grow your leads.
So, of course, the big pressing issue, and I'm sure this has been talked about a fair bit already at Social Media Camp, Facebook has changed the rules. People paid to get all the likes on their page, and now the impact of those likes and how the reach has gone down considerably from where it was originally when people would like a page, whether they engaged with the page or not. So how do you find that's impacted I guess people's enthusiasm for Facebook, and that, but also their enthusiasm for Facebook for the things that you're doing.
You know, it's been interesting. There's a lot of talk about that. However, one of the key things is that largely it's marketers who are the ones that kind of have the negative buzz about it. The average business and the average person are continuing to like Facebook, continuing to interact on Facebook. I mean, there has been some drop in reach, definitely, and it almost seems like maybe it bottomed out. And because in March there were some things, but recently Facebook has been doing a little shifting, and so they're looking at some improvements. However, I mean, you have to remember that it's a totally free platform, okay? So every major buyer demographic is there. And you can reach them, and if you want to pay for that, you can. And it doesn't cost too much. When you look at the cost of a Facebook ad to reach your ideal audience, it is inexpensive and powerful. So that's a message that needs to get out there a little stronger.
I likely represent the more casual user of social media, the business person who does not have as much expertise as both of you do. And certainly, Facebook is becoming an increasingly more important tool for businesses. You know that it's becoming that way when all the kids are leaving it. And so I think this is really neat to know for business that there's this tool that you represent. Fantastic.
Yeah, I guess the other issue is when you talk about traditional search marketing, you know, it worked so well because you would drive that traffic directly to your website, where the conversion tactics were completely up to you at that point, right? Whereas Facebook, you're in that ecosystem and trying to break out of that ecosystem or to capture the data that you need to capture for whatever the lead or whatever the process that you're trying to accomplish has always been a lot more complicated. So am I to presume then that your tool is what kind of bridges that gap?
Yes, absolutely. So when I very simply talk to people, I talk about you need three things in your campaigns, your strategy for Facebook. And number one is you need attraction content. And that is about 50% of what you're going to do on Facebook is going to be attraction content. That is just trying to engage with your community, finding things that are helpful, that are relevant, even that are fun, because it is a social network, so a business has to engage with that. That connects people. And then 30% of your information then is a form of lead capture. It's a post that would drive them to a free ebook, to a opportunity for a coupon, opportunity for to enter to win something, a promotion. And that's where we come in, because then we help you with that capture. So you control that data then. So you can drive them from a newsfeed post to the tab or to your website, where we can capture that data in the promotion. And then I recommend that only 20% of your information on Facebook is, you know, a sell, that type of thing. So I think most people miss that. They start out too much in the how can I capture them? How can I sell to them? That's not what it's about primarily. You have to do the work ahead of time with the attraction content. So that's my goal. That's my answer. And that's what Tabsite helps do.
Well, that's great. Thanks very much for sitting down with us. Just before we go, what's been the most fun for you at Social Media Camp this year?
You know, I think last night was a great opening networking party, and just being able to sit down with some people that I know online but hadn't met before. And so just being able to connect with them, sit around the table and chat, excellent, some great conversations.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Mike, and enjoy the rest of Social Media Camp.
Glad to be here. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Take care.
Welcome back to John, Paul, and Mike. I'm Paul Holmes, and I'm here with my esteemed colleague, John Jurisic.
Good-looking, too. Keep forgetting that.
Esteemed and good-looking. Sensitive man. We're also here with Social Media Camp's official clown, Sean Smith.
He looks like a clown. We got a clown right in front of us.
You probably know him on Twitter. It's @SeanSmithCR.
Oh, cool.
And he is perhaps one of the more entertaining characters at Social Media Camp. So so what are you doing this year, Sean, at Social Media Camp?
Looks like I'm doing a little bit of everything. It's kind of like being back in the Army, the master corporal who's given all the jobs that nobody else wants to do. Coaching, speaking, judging. I'm very judgmental now.
That's splendid.
How about the stand-up? I thought you had a stand-up thing on social media.
Well, that depends on the time of day. If it's in the evening, there is no standing because we've all been to the Sticky Wicket.
I see. Yeah, I was there last night. That was kind of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us what you did a little differently this year, you know, to commemorate the 5th annual Social Media
Camp. Yes. Well, let's just say that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and Social Media Camp, Mr. Paul Holmes decided, you know what, I'm just going to be a bit of a smart act, and I'm going to make a challenge, and if I can get two people to put the Social Media Camp logo on their body, I will do a song and dance on stage. Well, I mean, really, that's nothing more than a candy challenge to somebody who's insane as I am. So off we go to the wolf and sheep, and I now bear the Social Media Camp logo on my right shoulder.
That's a great thing about radio/podcast. We literally can say whatever the hell we want, and who's going to verify it? Yeah. Well, hold on. You're showing it to me. It's beautiful. Oh, it's man, that's great.
Yeah, look for the viral video as well.
There's video. See, this is the thing about social media is there is no such thing as it doesn't exist. So there's video, there's pictures, there's text, there's Instagram.
There's actually a new slogan with Social Media Camp this year. It's "What happens at Social Media Camp stays on Twitter." I think was the.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I see. So, well, then give us a bit of dirt on our esteemed our esteemed founder of Social Media Camp, a certain
Chris Burge.
Paul Holmes of John Paul and Mike. It's got to be something.
Let's just put it this way. He's a closet of a lot of everything. You know, I think he had it in his head that, number one, nobody was actually going to take him up on this challenge. Because honestly, who's going to be crazy enough to put something permanent on themselves about a once-a-year conference? And
I'm looking at it now, and it's something no one should see.
No, and especially where it is.
Well, and you know, there was a lot of hair there.
This is.
All right, we're still PG.
This man has the hairiest back you've ever seen.
This is, again, there was Global News had something about Sasquatch being spotted outside of Squamish, and I said, no, I'm at Social Media Camp. So, anyway, with Mr. Paul, he decides that, you know, nobody's going to take him up on this ridiculous challenge. And B, even if somebody does, well, you know, I'm a song and dance guy on stage anyway. I just finished Godspell, for goodness sake. Well, I don't think he was really thinking along the lines of, this time, the audience is all carrying iPhones. And everything he does is... he's going to make Rob Ford disappear from the social media screen based on the song and dance that he's about to do.
Oh, lordy, lordy. Is there nowhere we can go and have privacy now?
Rob. Yeah. No, I thought you were going to say, is there nowhere we can go without bringing up the topic of Rob Ford?
If you're going to talk about the car accident, talk about the best one you find.
You know what? I saw a... I read Reddit once in a while. You should check it out if you don't.
It's a complicated platform. I checked it out. I don't know what I did.
Yeah.
Did I make a mistake? Am I on everywhere?
It's tough for you old fellows to deal with. But, so there was a open letter, to Rob Ford, and it was from, the citizens of Reddit. And it was saying essentially, dear Rob Ford, please run for mayor. Again and again, and dear citizens of Toronto, please continue to vote for Rob Ford. We realize maybe it's not so good for your politics and for your local city, but man, is it entertaining! And we really appreciate the difference you've made in our lives.
Well, and again, this wouldn't surprise me, and it also wouldn't surprise me to see the letter signed by David Letterman, Jimmy Kimmel,
Jimmy Fallon,
Jimmy Fallon for sure, and Jon Stewart. Who actually mentioned in some, you know, rather colorful way that no matter what he does and no matter how bad it is, he's still doing it like a Canadian. You know, immediately the moment this stuff happens, we're saying, I'm sorry. And then his brother comes out and says, I'm sorry for my brother saying sorry.
Well, I'm definitely sorry about the two tattoos the both of you have that I'm looking at. And whoa, boy. So... okay, so you're here down in what used to be sunny Victoria. It's not so sunny today.
It's better than Edmonton, which I understand is getting snow.
Oh, you're kidding. My daughter lives there. Okay.
Which is why Rob's on his way to Edmonton now, because he heard there was free snow.
So give us, we've got seminars here. We have experts from all across North America, innovative thinking. Give us some between-the-lines stuff. What's happening in the nooks and crannies and corners of this conference center?
Well, because VicPD is here, we're not actually going to go into depth about that.
Well, they are beside the popcorn, which is a huge hit.
And they're on Reddit as well. Yeah.
I think probably one of the best things about, and this is the coaching aspect that we're doing here, and it's one of the things that you don't see it at any other conference, really, is the fact that we're not only helping people enjoy the conference, but we're also helping them to get the most out of the conference. There is a lot of great content to come and take a look at, to engage in and to listen to, but it may, you know, choosing which one to go to may not fit for what your target is within your business, within your organization. So the coaches have actually sat down with a lot of the attendees and help them plan their day and which ones to go and see. And then in between
that's such an innovative, cool idea.
And the Social Media Camp was the first to roll it out.
Wow, that's so cool.
And it continues to get bigger every year. So what we end up having is a whole bunch of people who are not only getting the advantage of getting the experienced speaker talking to them about specific platforms, specific mm-hmm. strategies, procedures. But then they get to sit down with a social media person who yes. also understands it and helps it define it a little bit more towards yeah. what they're doing.
So you're customizing the information.
Absolutely.
That likely if you weren't doing would be some overload, likely maybe difficult to implement to their situation.
Yeah, and I think that's what Paul and Chris were working for is to make sure that overload didn't happen to people who are attending for the first time. That they don't have to sit there and look at all of these great speakers and go, well, geez, which one do I see? Which
yeah.
one's going to have,
yeah.
especially if they're not familiar with the social media's platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And so having somebody look at them, talk to them about their business, about
yeah.
them specifically,
yeah.
work with them individually and help them plan their day.
Is that what
they
you
get
do?
More out of it.
Is that what you do as work?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm a professional coach. So
okay.
I coach social media. So I go oh, in yeah. and I actually show people how to utilize and improve upon their existing social media environment, or once they get it set up,
wow.
how to improve and work with it.
So why don't you tell us where we can find you online, Sean?
No, hold on. PG only.
Yeah.
Well, there's always hubbahubba.com.
Is that a thing? I don't even know.
It will be.
After
you
this
can,
podcast, it will be.
You can find me at thatsocialmediaguy.com, which is my website.
Is there sexy photos there?
Oh, there
well?
Will be.
Okay.
There will be.
Okay.
You know, kiss my camp. there's my social media Twitter handle is at Sean Smith CR. That's SEAN, the proper Irish way.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find me on Facebook with Sean Smith CR. You can find me on LinkedIn with Sean Smith CR. You seeing there's a commonality here?
So beside me, of course, is Paul, who's likely now at this stage, although he's very humble, a global expert in social media. What might there, in concluding, what might be some sort of lasting remarks you might leave for business folks who are either just starting or entering into this whole realm of social media? Are there some two or three defining pieces that they should really think about?
Yeah, WhatsApp.
WhatsApp, yeah. I think probably the biggest thing that I would say to any business who is entering into social media for the first time themselves is social media itself, the concept of it, is very simple to understand. But find somebody who understands it first. That way they can help interpret it, what it means for your business. Quite often I see too many businesses going out there and they get a Facebook account, and they get a Twitter account, and they get an Instagram account, figuring that they need all of it, and they don't. You find where your audience is and work with it. So hire a professional. Take that time and hire a professional. You spend time and money on your regular marketing. Spend time and money on a social media person.
Well, after this broadcast, they better be hiring you. Thank you so much for coming
well,
by.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right.
Stay classy. Welcome to the John, Paul, and Mike Show again. We're meeting with Chris Holt, who is the executive director of Need2, Suicide Prevention, Education, and Support here at Social Media Camp. And I guess the first thing we'll ask Chris is, are you having a good time at Social Media Camp?
Having an absolutely awesome time.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah.
Just love these folks, love the people, love what's happening.
Right on.
Now, no one paid him to say that, correct?
No.
Yeah,
no,
good. Okay. Yeah.
I did get an apple, though.
Oh, excellent. That's the fruit.
Yes. The fruit of our labors today.
So it's kind of an interesting history. I want you to tell us a little bit about the Turn It Up campaign and how it's tied into Social Media Camp, because obviously there's a bit of history there, and maybe you can tell people the campaign and how it works and the good stuff that you guys are doing raising awareness.
Sure. Well, Need2, we work on youth suicide prevention both online and offline. And we recognize that there's, you know, a lot of stuff happening online that is affecting kids pretty deeply, right? You know, kids these days, you know, and I say kids, I mean up to age 30, right? They're the internet generation, the kids that have grown up with all of this technology. And so they're the generation that, you know, we're targeting. And, of course, they're important to Social Media Camp too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all part of what's happening. And, you know, part of what those kids being so connected and trying to be connected with, you know, all the social media technology, what happens is that when they run into trouble, right, they You know, some have family violence issues or depression or mental illness or bullying or either online or offline. They have a tendency to draw away, right? They get the feeling nobody cares. Nobody really gives a damn about them, right? And so they become isolated, right? And when you're isolated and you're feeling isolated, it just exacerbates whatever the situation is that you're going through, right?
Yeah, and a lot of parents actually don't have a clue what's going on online. They just don't get how cruel that environment can be and how their kids are impacted. Certainly, I have four children. They've all survived somehow into their 20s and 30s. And it was news to me after one of my children graduated from high school that they actually in grade 12 were being bullied all year online. I didn't know. And here's somebody, you know, I like to think that I know what's going on. I actually didn't.
Wow.
And so what an amazing service that, so someone in that somebody could reach out to you folks and what would happen?
Well, we run an online service called youthspace.ca. And we're on every night from 6 to 11 Pacific time, right? But we reach right across the country. And if you're, you know, a young person under 30, you can go to youthspace.ca and you can chat with one of our volunteers who are well-trained volunteers, like trained 50 hours in crisis.
So they would actually phone?
No, they don't phone. They actually text or chat.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah.
Kids don't use the phone anymore.
No, they don't. They have them in their pockets, but they don't use them for a phone, right? Yeah. It's their connection to all these other things. And so... And we're busy. Like, it's happening all the time. And it's a bit of a crisis out there in terms of suicide. And because of the connection, because they can be so connected, these kids, that when things happen out there, like bullying and stuff, it hits them all the time. You can't escape it because part of social media is part of their identity now. So you're attacking their core identity when that happens. And kids are dying because of it, right? And, you know, two kids a day die in this country from suicide. Every single day. Two. Boom, 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 boom. Every single day, right? So it's a big problem and we need to stop that. There are not enough professionals around who can help it. So we all have to help. And that's what the Turn It Up campaign is all about. Mm-hmm. It's about all of us helping. We'll go to funerals. We'll have minutes of silence for those that have died, right? But we want to have minutes of noise for those who are still here to let them know that we care.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, it's so brilliant. When you first launched it, I was here at Social Media Camp, and I thought, wow, you know, he's so right. You know, we pause when people die and we have a moment of silence, which is important. But, you know, what about all the people, you know, on the edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's so amazing. You know, and there's still people out there, Chris, and maybe you can address this. There's still people out there who think the best approach to suicide is to just not talk about it. Because maybe you're putting ideas into kids' heads that maybe weren't there before. I wonder if you could tell me what you think of those people.
Well, you know, it's a myth. That's one of those urban myths about suicide is that if you talk about it, it encourages it. It's like you're gonna, like you say, you're gonna plant the idea in their head.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not. It's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. If somebody's hurting, right?
Yeah.
You want to be able to say to them, hey, I see you're hurting. I care about you.
Yeah.
I want to help you. You know, are you thinking of killing yourself, right? It's okay to ask that question.
Yeah.
Because what that shows is that you care. It breaks the silence around that issue and the stigma. That silence and that stigma keeps people, like I said before, isolated, right? Away from being able to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so you really just need to say that. And that is so big, right? Because then it creates that human connection, right?
Yeah.
It creates that community.
Well, certainly I think this small little podcast will be able to help more people know about your services. Certainly Christy Clark, as premier, has identified bullying as a priority issue to deal with. Are you connected in any way with funding from the government in this? Do they help you? No, it sounds like no. You're smirking.
Well, we do get a little bit of government funding, some from MCFD, and a little bit of gaming money.
Okay,
we could use, you know, a certain amount more.
Well,
right?
It sounds like there are more professionals required to answer all of the calls. There are more calls than there are people to handle them.
Yes,
that requires money.
I have a question, Chris. So I have and you probably are aware of the crisis that's happening in the military, around suicide. I know it's far worse in the U.S. than it is here in Canada. I have a friend, obviously won't mention any names, who was contemplating suicide in the military. Mm. And
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and thankfully he reached out. But you know, I didn't have anything to say. I don't know what to say other than, hey, you know, like, we care, and you know, we don't want you to do this. You know, we need you to be here. I need friends too. So, you know, I need you on this planet, right?
Yes.
And that's it. That's all I could think of, right?
But you know? But that alone, right?
Yeah.
Helps him know that he is not alone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that somebody cares about him. And that's, you know, that's half the battle,
yeah.
Right? I mean, the other half of the battle is actually the resources need to be there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
At that point for him. And
yeah.
And that's where, you know, government really needs to step up,
yeah,
to the plate.
Right? That is really where somewhere government can help. Well, I think this is great that we're able to talk to you, Chris, that we're able to do a tiny little part in profiling what you do and helping kids understand and survive new digital technologies and how they interact with them. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and don't forget to check out turnitup.ca.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris.